Welcome back, everybody, to the Championship Bowhunting Podcast. I have a special guest today joining us all the way from Watkins Glen, New York. He is the current pro chairman for the NFAA, also VP for Feather Vision's archery lenses, scopes. I mean, what's the proper term? What's the proper, I guess, introduction there, Mr. Chuck Cooley? How are you doing this morning?
I'm pretty good, Phil. How are you? Nice to hear from you guys. Happy to be on. It's Feather Vision Custom Lenses. We supply 13 different companies in the marketplace with all their lenses as OEM product. In other words, they're buying them at manufacturing levels and installing them in their equipment at the time of sale. And then we also resell lenses to dealers, distributors, and retail customers. We fit all the different scope bodies that are on the market.
So it's pretty interesting combination, you being a certified optician, an archer, and, you know, having the lens company. It seems to be a great fit and a critical part. I mean, maybe that's part of why you guys serve so many other archery manufacturers with their sights, with their lenses for their sights, because you've got a really good insight on what works.
Yeah, I think it's a really unique combination that didn't exist before. I would have never thought of it necessarily naturally. Myself, it was a customer back in like 98 that told me this would be a good idea, and brought me his archery equipment, and I was like, oh yeah, look at that. And you know, I looked at what was available in the market, and I was like, man, there's got to be a better way. So we came out with a couple of different products, launched the company, and it never looked back. It's been amazing. But I think you're right. I think, you know, my expertise, you know, I've got 25 years as an optician, you know, dealing with people's eyes and dealing with optics and as a competitive archer, you know, I started off, you know, when I founded the company, I didn't even own a bow. You know, I had to go buy a bow to see what competitive archery was all about. I mean, I didn't remember. It was Boy Scout camp the last time I touched a bow. So, you know, to see the progression of the sport and look at the gear and then go compete, right? Because now it's 3D tournaments in the woods. How do your eyes react? Oh, I know, you know, it's standing outdoor shooting a FIDA tournament. How do your eyes react? Oh, that's what goes on. And it, you're right on point. You know, the fact that I do it, I can speak to it from an experience point of view, but also from a technical point of view and try to find some really good answers. And when archers talk to me, you know, when they call me and they say, man, I'm really struggling with this, I can ask them, you know, what part of the country are you in? What game are you shooting? How old are you? Do you wear glasses? And I can plug all that information in and come up generally with a really solid answer for guys. And it makes all the difference in the world. You know, they really appreciate it. And it's super helpful, but I think you're right. You know, I think that thing, those things have made us successful at what we do.
Oh yeah. And I can only imagine. I mean, when I started shooting competitively and then I decided to open the pro shop, excuse me, it felt like it gave me a leg up because I was experiencing archery at a high level and or higher than what most people were used to. And so when they would come and have tournament questions or, you know, setup questions, it was something that I had either experienced or I knew people that had experienced it. So it helped me serve my customers in that respect. But for, you know, one of the main topics I wanted to talk about today, Chuck, was bow hunters come into my shop or friends of mine that they say, I'm getting up in age, or my eyesight's just not that good, and I can't see my pins anymore, or vice versa, or they can see their pins, but the target's real fuzzy. And, you know, I know there's different peeps and different apertures on the market that can sometimes help clarify your fiber, but what's going on when somebody is having those kind of vision issues with a fiber optic style sight, be it your single or multiple pin sight? What's your experience with what people are encountering?
You're probably dealing with a customer trusted 40 years of age. So they're 40, 45, 50 years old. And they're entering a phase in their life where their eyes tend not to work so good up close. They're just coming into the need for a bifocal, for the most part. And, that's what we call presbyopia, which is the eye does not naturally focus up close anymore. There's the internal accommodation is lost, and they just can't do it. So, you know, there's a bunch of different answers. And the trick is to not fall prey to the super expensive site just because it says it works. Really the best way to do it is to nail down, okay, where can you see? And that's where you as a pro shop owner, or anybody as a pro shop owner, can really be key in helping this archer do well. And, you know, it basically involves, you know, something as simple as a yardstick and a pencil tip or something like that. And you kind of hold it out there and you figure out, hey, where do you lose this? Where can you see it? Where does it look pretty decent? And they're going to give you a number. And so then you try to land the sight, the pins, right at that distance. A lot of guys, it'll be fairly close. So there's a Copper John just released a sight I saw that it actually sits behind the riser, so it's closer to the archer. That's going to be a big help. Guys are going to see that a lot nicer. There's sites that have very short extension bars. There's sites that have adjustable extension bars, you know, the HHAs, that have the adjustable distance. The CBE also makes a sight that moves in and out on a dovetail. There's a bunch of different ones that do that. And you as a pro shop owner can kind of land people on where that pin needs to be in best focus. The other thing we have to remember is that peeps are really alignment tools for us. That's why we put them in the screen, is to keep us on alignment, keep us on target. And adjust the size of those peeps really helps a ton. I'm sure you can remember back in like science class when you did the pinhole camera through a piece of cardboard, right? You poke a hole through the paper and at some point when you know, as the sunlight goes through the hole, if you get the paper too close, the hole is blurred, lift it up off the table, it gets really sharp and crisp. Do you remember those days?
I remember some different tests, maybe not that specific one, but yeah, go ahead.
So that's called pinholing. An aperture, a peep aperture, depending on its size, can help an archer focus a little better because it helps restrict that light flow just a little bit to alleviate the blur that they're seeing. Oftentimes you drop in a specialty peep or something like that and you just change the aperture size, restrict it down just a little bit, and man, a lot of times that's the answer. It falls right into place and they're like, oh, that's it. The downside is for most of these guys, there's a compromise. They're never going to be 25 again, so their eyes don't work that well. Sometimes you have the introduction of, you know, the very beginning of cataracts, which is, that's going to scatter light and it's going to make pins really hard to see. And sometimes you got guys who wear pretty heavy prescriptions or you know, strong eyeglasses, and that creates a whole nother set of problems. But, you know, it's finding that compromise where they say, well, I can see the pin pretty decent, but I can definitely see my animal better. And in my mind, that's really where you want to be. I'd rather have a sharper target than a sharper pin. Or you just have to shorten your hunting range, your effective hunting range. But out west where you guys are, I mean, everything is 60, 70, 80 yards away. I mean, they're big animals, but you guys are hunting long distance. You know, back here on the east side, I gotta get a guy to 25 yards and he's good to go.
It seems like because we're out west and sometimes the animals can be further, it seems to give people permission to go ahead and shoot at them that far when oftentimes they shouldn't be shooting at them that far. But that's another topic for another day. but you're right. I mean, looking through the pin at the target, allowing your eye to kind of naturally center that pin on what you want to aim at would be preferable. So if the pin is slightly fuzzy, maybe not the end of the world. But let me ask you this. So once you start going to like a specialty peep and you put the not a clarifier but a verifier type of it's essentially a lens, right, in that aperture.
It is. It's a plus powered lens. It's a magnifying lens. A verifier is a magnifying lens. A clarifier is a minus powered or a lens that minifies things, and that's how that system works. Clarifiers are designed to work with a scope lens. Verifiers are designed to work without a scope lens.
But that's going to give you the opposite effect of clearing up a pin, but possibly fuzzing up the target, right?
Right. You're going to shorten your, you know, depending on how strong you go. Some guys, they're going to have a little bit longer focal distance. Some guys are going to have a little shorter focal distance. And the stronger you go, the shorter that distance is, no matter what. It definitely brings your effective range really close. You know, and I love the idea of a verifier. From a technical point of view, on paper and in perfect weather, it's friggin' amazing. You put those things in and guys can see and they love it. They haven't seen pins that clear in years. But if I put you on a mountainside and it's foggy and you started off, it was 80 degrees and now it's 45 degrees, and that verifier fogs up or it gets water vapor on it, you're done. You're not hunting. You literally can't see through it. It's like looking through a pair of binoculars that are fogged over. So do I want to, you know, be looking at Bullwinkle when he steps out from behind a tree and I come to draw and I can't see? I don't know if I want to take that risk. I mean, I think it's great from a competitor point of view. You know, if you're just doing competitive archery, competitive bow hunting, target type shooting, I think it's a great solution. In a hunting application, man, the last thing in the world I want to do is have a guy come back from a $10,000 week in, you know, Colorado or Arizona or Alaska and go, yep, had the biggest animal I ever saw in my entire life in front of me. Couldn't see through my verifier. Thanks a lot. I really appreciate your help.
Yeah. Oh, I couldn't agree more. Those things that can go wrong will go wrong.
They totally will. So, you know, and I'm sure you've experienced this. I mean, you used to do the pro tour. You know what it's like. You can have a really great, beautiful sunny day in a park and you're shooting targets and everything's cool. It's awesome. And then it can be a downpour. And if you lose a tournament, okay, that's one thing. You lost a tournament. But you know, for, and you also have, you personally have the experience of, you know, high level hunting. And man, you don't want to put a whole year or a whole season into one hunt and have it go down because of equipment like that. So I'm always trying to find solutions that are simple. And in those scenarios, honestly, lenses are not the simple answer. They work, but it's not the simple answer. We want to, you know, I want to try to get guys into something that's going to work a little easier. And if their vision is getting kind of compromised, you know, sometimes go to a one pin slider sight. There's only one pin out there. It's really hard to get confused on one pin. Now they're not looking at two or three. Geez, am I looking at my 40 or my 70 yard pin? Which one? I can't. They're kind of all running together. You know, that those kind of things will, you know, minimize mistakes, minimize opportunities for mistake. So go to a single pin slider sight. It's going to be a little fuzzy, but they're going to be a lot happier. You know, they only got one pin to look at, and if they can get that on the chest, then let her rip.
Yeah, and then you can, you know, adjust pin size at that point off a single pin and try to fine tune what you can see better.
Absolutely.
So then you brought one thing up that I want to ask you on, and that's people who wear glasses. This is something that I'm kind of I struggle with a little bit. I don't wear glasses. I've tried to shoot in sunglasses before, and I've done it from the fact of, okay, does the frame get in the way? Is the, you know, what's the problem with shooting with glasses? Because I hear all, I mean, the complaints, I don't want to say complaints, but the concerns that I hear from customers are all over the board. But it, maybe elaborate on that a little bit. What happens when people, you know, are shooting with glasses and, like you said, bifocals to some other type of lens? What is beneficial to an archer? What are things to be aware of as an archer that's shooting with glasses?
Ultimately, I think eye protection, you know, not from necessarily a safety point of view, although, you know, all the manufacturers tell us, hey, look, wear your safety glasses when you shoot your bow. I mean, every single owner's manual pickup has that, which I find hilarious because nobody's ever going to do that. But from an eye protection point of view, and this is the way that I look at it, if I can block the wind and I can control the light so it's exactly the same pretty much all day, my eyes are going to be relaxed, they're going to be comfortable, they're going to be consistent, so that every time I draw my bow, visually, it's going to look the same. And my brain's going to get happy with that. My brain's going to be comfortable with that. The shot is going to execute easier. Everything happens with more flow. It all goes easier. So I think it's a great idea if it's possible. That said, there's only a couple of glasses that guys can actually wear when they shoot. Pila is well known for making excellent shooting glasses. There's no bridging that gets in the way. There's no nose pads that get in the way. They're extremely comfortable. The lenses are all made by Zeiss. Really high-end, really great optics. They work fantastic, and they have light control or light filtering properties that really enhance or deaden either the target or the background. They aren't just a sunglass. They really enhance a target, whether it be an animal or a target face or something like that. Oakley also makes some very, very good ones. They've come out with some new prism lenses this year that work extremely well in target archery, but it's a little trickier to find a frame that fits the face properly so that you can see over the nose or over the bridge. In the prescription realm, I generally recommend the DECOT, D-E-C-O-T. It's pronounced either DECOT or DECO. I'm sure, you know, your experienced archers will recognize that name. You can find them online. They're probably the best at making prescription shooting glasses. They're really well known in the shotgun and sporting gun industry, but they're very applicable to archery and things like that. It works really, really well. The key thing I would tell any of your listeners on, you know, what to do for glasses would be to get a distance pair of glasses with a tiny little bifocal way down in the bottom. Don't get the progressive, the no-line bifocal, or any of that stuff. For archery, it is easily the worst lens choice on the planet, just because of the way that that lens is constructed. When we position our heads as archers, it's the head is, you know, kind of 45 degrees from the target, and you're looking over the bridge of the nose into the corner of the lens. And when that lens is designed, they purposely kind of blur that edge of the lens because nobody ever looks there in real life. So it's the worst part of the optics of the lens. They pay zero attention to it. It's awful. And if you're shooting in an uphill or a downhill situation, the eye is looking through a different power of the lens. As it raises and lowers, it changes focus. So your archers who wear those will find that the most challenging lens to ever look through and create a lot of trouble for themselves. So a distance pair of glasses that fits right up against the nose is right where you want to be.
That makes a lot of sense. I mean, I guess the moral of the story is if you take your archery or bow hunting seriously, investing in the proper eyewear can make for a more comfortable shooting experience. I mean, it's just like anything else. You know, we spend so much money on our fancy trucks and our, you know, if you're a rifle hunter, your expensive rifles and scopes. Excuse me. You know, having the right eyewear can mean the difference between, you know, a successful outing or not in certain situations.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you guys that are coming in. I mean, what's a naked hunting bow these days? You know, with nothing on it, just out of the box, a bow's $1,000.
You're pushing
bucks.
A grand. Yeah.
Yeah. Any of the good ones are a grand out of the box, and some of them are $1,500-$1,600 out of the box. So by the time they get it set up, they're going to have a couple of $1,000 tied up in a hunting rig. And then they're going to, you know, practice for months, and then they're going to put all their time and energy and research, whether it's back east here and they're doing food plots, or it's out west and they're hiking the mountains for a week on end. And then they're going to use the same glasses that they go to work in, their office glasses. You know, they've got specialized camo, they've got specialized boots, they got specialized arrows, they got thousands of dollars tied up in their hunting rig. It's like, dude, spend an extra $300, get a pair of shooting glasses, and keep them with your bow. When you put on your camo, you put on those glasses. And every guy that I talk to that does that comes back and shakes my hand and says, man, that was the best advice you ever could have given me. And I'll tell guys, look, don't buy arrows this year. Don't buy broadheads this year. Use the stuff you used last year because it worked. Buy a pair of glasses this year. That should be on your bucket list of what do I need to buy for this season? A pair of shooting glasses.
That's a great piece of advice. I mean, it's advice from the proper person to give that advice also.
Yeah. And, you know, go see your local eye doctor. I mean, it doesn't have to be me. I mean, there's a ton of places that you can buy these. I mean, sure, I'd love to make them. But yeah, go see your guy and say, hey, look, man, I'm doing archery. And don't let them offset. You know, a lot of times guys will say, well, I had the center of the lens moved towards my nose so that I can see better when I'm shooting. No, don't do that. And the reason I say don't do that is you spend about 8 to 10 seconds, maybe 20 on a long hold, looking through the corner of the lens. But you spend hours looking straight ahead, right?
Sure.
So don't set it up for an 8-second success window. Set it up for an all-day comfort window. Your eye can handle 8 or 10 seconds looking through the corner to make that shot. It totally can do it. It totally can do it. But if you offset that, it induces prism and it changes the way your eye sees through the lens. It's going to put fatigue on the eye. Don't do that. Just set it up like normal. Get a tiny little bifocal way down in the bottom, and you'll be a lot happier with it. Visually, you'll see a huge difference.
Well, that helps a bunch, and I mean, just touching on the some of the issues that bow hunters have, you know, that opens up a whole different discussion with target archery and lenses and lighting and some stuff that we've touched on, but I want to save that for another podcast and just kind of close this one up and, you know, also bring up the point that we talked, you're a competitive archer, you currently nominated or just nominated as the pro chairman for the next 2 years for the NFAA.
Yep. Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about what that's going to require of you over the next 2 years. And, you know, congratulations on that nomination and getting voted in also.
Thanks a lot, man. It's kind of cool. It's my second term as a pro chairman. In the NFAA, there's a division, the professional division. And the NFAA is the only organization in the country that actually has a paid pro membership. Like in the ASA or the IBO, if you want to shoot the pro stakes, you just pay more money and say, you know what, today I'm a pro. And
sure.
And you shoot from the big boy stakes. They make you do it for the rest of the year, but there's you can just show up and shoot. In the NFAA, you actually have to be an NFAA member, and then you have to pay dues to the pro division, and you shoot in the pro class, and then you have a voice. You know, at the state level, there's a state pro rep. At the sectional level, and there's 9 sections that all the different states, you know, there's like 5 or 7 states in one section. There'll be a sectional pro rep, and then at the national level, there's myself, and my job is to listen to all the pros in the country, make rule changes, make adjustments, work with headquarters to make sure that we're running a good tournament, that we're getting good turnout, that we're getting good paybacks, so the guys can get paid for winning a tournament, things like that. And that's really my job, is to work back and forth with headquarters and the pros to represent them at all different levels and make sure everything's going really great, and to try to grow the professional division, bring in sponsors and things like that is some extra role that I've added to it. This is my second go at it. I was pro chairman 2 years ago. My term ended. I took some time off. My daughter was graduating high school, so I didn't run again at the last cycle. But now she's off in college, and my time's freed up a little bit more, so I ran again to work hard for these guys. It's a complete volunteer position, and I travel to all the tournaments and help make sure everything's running smooth.
Well, you know, I'm excited to see where that goes. I've kind of taken a step away from the tournament scene here over the last year, I guess. Now my wife, she had our second little boy, and moving our pro shop. So I'm hoping to get back on the horse real soon here, hopefully in the next year or so, and maybe get a chance to come out and shoot with you guys a little bit. I've done more of the ASA tour, but yeah, there's some great events that's on the NFAA side that, you know, a good friend of mine, Dylan Sether, shoots the pro class on the NFA tour, and
Dylan's a great shot. He made a couple of shoot offs this year. I think he made the shoot off for indoor nationals at Louisville,
right?
And, you know, to make that shoot off, and that's pounding. You got to shoot 120 X's just to make a shoot off. You got to shoot 120 perfect X's, and he did it. And then, you know, you shoot off against the best guys on the planet. You know, guys that are multiple world champions, indoor champions, Jesse Broadwater, Rio, Braden Gellentine, Scott Starnes, Chance Boboff. I mean, they're all in that. Levi Morgan, they're in those shoot-offs, and they're tough to beat.
Yeah, and it's fun to get to see those, you know, see those the guys that you know that you've kind of grown up with and shot along with as buddies, and seeing them do well and shoot against those big name guys. It's pretty fun to see. But Chuck, I'm going to go ahead and wrap this episode up. We, you know, I'd love to catch up with you here again soon. Like I said, there's a couple other topics that I think you'd be great to help our listeners get educated with, and also, you know, catch up on the NFAA from time to time if you're willing to do that with us.
Man, I'd love it. I think it would be great. You know, there's always lots of really fun stuff happening and good things going on. And anytime I can share that information, I'm happy to do it. And, you know, maybe have some of your listeners, if they jot down a specific question or a scenario, shoot that into you, and we can address that on a podcast and try to get some answers and give people some really good guidance. Or if you have a pro shop owner that listens and, he's got a recurring question or something like that, you know, I'm more than happy to address that and share the information with everybody so that they can get this stuff out there. I mean, hunting season's right around the corner, so we want to get guys set up and running right away.
No, that's it.
As fast as we can.
And the earlier we get started with that preparation, you know, the more successful we can be. So I agree. We'll get touching on some of these other subjects. The bow hunting question that I had, you know, was actually, like I said, somewhat from customers of my shop, and also I had gotten a couple of emails. So, well, once again, we appreciate Chuck joining us this morning, and looking forward to have him join us again soon. So, we appreciate you checking out the Championship Bowhunting Podcast. You can check us out at championshipbowhunting.com. Comment on any of the videos there. We, I believe with this episode, I hope we're up on iTunes with this episode as our first episode.
Sweet.
Yeah, so we're getting submitted to them as we speak. So by the time we load this one, hopefully this one automatically uploads to iTunes like it's supposed to. Make sure you like and give us a positive comment there if you would. So anything else you want to add, Chuck? I mean, it's feathervisions.com, is that right? Lens?
Yep. Our website is feathervisions.com. You can find us on Facebook under Feathervisions. You can find me on Facebook if you want to shoot me a direct question. It's Chuck Cooley Archer is my athlete page on Facebook. Or you can shoot a message to Phil and he'll get in touch with me and I'll do what I can to answer your questions. Follow Phil, follow me and thanks a lot, man. I hope to be on here a few times for you. There's a ton of topics we could go on for hours about. So,
I agree.
It seems like this vision thing is going to be around for a while.
it's a little important for us, yeah. You know, guys that want to try to hit that target every time.
Yeah. If you're trying to eat, it's going to be easier to see it.
That's it. All right, Chuck, have a good day, and we look forward to the next one, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks a lot, Phil. Really appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you.
Okay.